All right, hello everyone, and welcome to Consistent Gentle Healing. I was watching the news just before I came over here, and I noticed that the weather is not very consistent. Well, actually, it's not very gentle. I think it's been pretty consistent. Not very gentle in the West. They were talking about how incredibly hot it is, and in fact, I think we're 10 degrees above normal right now. But they were talking about how hot it is, like in Nevada and Arizona and California. So, everybody stay cool in whatever way you can. Ken has selected a song for us. It's called Sacred Love by Daniel Namad. So we'll listen to that song and then we'll get started. So Ken, take it away.
I like Daniel.
Sacred love is all that you are. You are sacred love, God. Sacred love is all that you are. You are sacred love. Sacred love. Sacred love is all that you are. Show the way, God, show the way. I want to live in such a state of grace. Lead the way, God, lead the way. I want to live.
Show the way, God, show the way, I want to live in such a
Thank you very much, Ken. So again, we're here for gentle healing, and as you all know, we start by letting you share based on your experience in the last week. In the last week, we looked at workbook lessons 148 to 152. We also read NTI Acts chapters 19 to 28. And then the meditation that you practiced at least once was the recalling attention meditation. So who has something they'd like to share based on this past week? Kathy says, really liked Acts. That's nice.
I guess I could say something.
Okay, go ahead. I knew if I waited long enough, somebody would speak up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
For me, it's NTI, and I love everything, but I will not cover everything. I will just cover one page, page 247, because I know Regina will probably cover a lot of it. But that one especially is important to me now. Follow internal prompts to read certain books or go to certain teachers, but do not feel you need to go to them all. Do not feel that they have an answer they can give to you. The answer is always within. I have to say that oftentimes there's a lot of things that I want to listen to. You know, there's a lot of wonderful teachings and awakening together that I didn't do in the past year that I want to go back and do. And it seems like it can get overwhelming if you don't follow intuition. You know, you want to do it all, but it's not, that's not the answer. So I'm trying more and more to try and follow intuition. There's also a couple more things on that page that I liked. When you search for me without knowing where to look, you can be misled by your own sense of unworthiness. For the unworthiness believed within the mind will tell you that others have what you do not have. This may lead you to accept what you would otherwise not accept. So as you read and listen to the teachers that cross your path, also feel what they say within. If you are to accept what you read or what you hear, I will tell you from within to accept it. You will know it is for you because I have told you it is. One of the things that I really, really feel called to practice awareness, watching awareness. It helps my mind slow down, put space there. And I just heard so many good things about it. And we talk about it every single week. And I just want to practice that as much as I can. So for me, in order to do that, then I have to spend a little less time on other things, like the workbook lesson. I've decided instead of reading the entire text of each lesson, I instead will read the tips, Regina's tips. And to me, that has more clarity, and I can practice that. And put more time into the awareness, watching awareness. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Francine. Who else would like to share? Let's see. Kathy has typed the meditation instruction from Regina. Also leaves us at the end with the instruction to use whatever devices work for you. Yeah, so she's referring to the recalling attention meditation. Lynn is referring to from page 247 in NTI, slow down and ask why. Ask why until you understand the nature of your reason. Do we have other sharings? I was going to say, Ken, you always share. Go ahead.
Well, all of this work has many hidden benefits that I would not truly expect, because I don't think the lessons primarily focus on truth, but it's a side effect of letting go of beliefs. And that's the effect that all this work, the awareness, watching awareness, is having for me. And we just got here yesterday. We, being Rebecca and I, are now a couple again.
Congratulations.
Instead of her being a babysitter for, or chaperone for her 17-year-old grandson, and me holding down the fort here. Because I flew down, got a moving van, and we drove from Riverside to here. Well, that's about 16 hours of driving with the stops for gas and for potty and such. And it's a lot of time to talk.
Uh-oh.
And we don't turn the radio on for that very intention of I don't want the radio to interfere. If there's silence, it's because we're both contemplating something. And it was an opportunity for me to address once again that every time I think I know what Rebecca likes or doesn't like, when I stop and ask her, I find that I know nothing. And just that ability to be honest, to ask the question, hear the answer, and say thank you. And not have all of the story behind the question, the fear behind the question. Well, if I ask this, how will she react? Will I pay for asking the question? So that's been another one of the great blessings of doing these studies. And I can't say it's the course. I can't say it's NTI or the meditation. It just is. It is just that peace of dropping the stories and seeing that they are just stories created out of nothing. And sometimes created from family, sometimes created from movies, sometimes created from television, from friends, or just not asking and coming up with my own story. So again, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. And I noticed Nancy has typed in again, she's talking about the slow down and ask why from Acts. She said, I learned that it can take time to know and understand the reason. Several days sometimes for me. And yeah, I think that is true. I think it can sometimes take several days. So that's good to have that patience. Do we have someone else who would like to share based on their experience?
I think they like the prompt from you sharing.
They do. What if I sat here and did nothing till a quarter till? Let's see. George says, great, Ken. I've found myself making fewer assumptions in my conversations, more listening, less defensive. Oh, Kathy says she missed a day of meditation. Well, you know what? I did too, Kathy. I'm going to have to forgive you on that one because Sunday morning, since I was filling in for Ken, I needed to be at work by 7:15. And since Jazz and I were going to the zoo right after I got off work, I also needed to be showered and dressed. And, you know, if you do the math, you'll figure out there wasn't time for meditation. So you're forgiven, Kathy. And if you want to share, please do. That happens to all of us sometimes, I think.
Well, that's been one of your teachings of when we do miss is to not beat yourself up for it.
Right.
Just say, I missed.
Yeah, yeah. It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, Kathy, the mic is yours.
It wasn't about beating myself up. I just definitely don't want to, I want to follow the rules. I
yes.
mean, there are rules and I will follow the rules. So that's why I always qualify before I share. I don't, necessarily do this perfectly every week. That's for sure. But I try. I really enjoyed your meditation audio, Regina. It was encouraging. It was simple. It was the music at the end. Well, through the whole thing, really is beautiful. I appreciated you addressing just that notion of, you know, if you're not feeling like you know what awareness is, if you're not connecting to awareness as maybe a visceral experience or something that, you know, I don't have an expectation about it personally. I don't have an expectation about what awareness is. What I'm finding for myself is that I'm simply enjoying relaxing into the silence of that time. It's like a gift to myself, and so it doesn't feel like any sort of efforting. Sometimes trying to figure out when is the best time for me to do that, and it doesn't always seem to be first thing in the morning for me. Sometimes my energy level in the morning is very high, and to sit down at that time and try to still the mind, or not really still the mind, but simply there's just so many thoughts going through the mind at that time that it seems easier for me to be drawn to that. Where if I wait, like this morning, for instance, I went out into the garden early in the morning when it was cool and I was in the shade and I did what was necessary in the garden for that part of the day. And I find that my routine varies. I'm not trying to set up some sort of a routine for myself where I make it like a must time that I have to meditate then. It feels more comfortable for me to just take my cues from how the day is. But I'm mindful, truly mindful about not blowing it off. It's like, don't blow it off because you decided not to do it first thing in the morning either, which that can happen sometimes. The busyness of the day can sometimes take over. So I have learned that, you know, to ask myself if this is a priority for you, if this is really something you want to do, you will in fact find that hour or that hour and a half. And lately in the afternoon, I've been taking another half an hour in the afternoon, and that's when I do that meditation that you assigned, Regina. And even though my tendency has been to get sleepy in the afternoon, one of the tips that you gave about noticing the one who wants to be sleepy, noticing the one who seems to be tired, noticing the one who wants to doze off, you know, that's that notion of staying in awareness, mm-hmm. aware of that one who wants to fall asleep. So that's been a helpful, a little like tip you gave that at some point in time. And I found that to be helpful for an afternoon meditation. So I feel grateful that I'm liking awareness, watching awareness meditation as much as I do, and really wanting to do it from my heart, not just as a, you know, an obligation to be part of gentle, consistent healing or whatever, to, you know, put on some sort of air like I'm a meditator now. I mean, that just seems so stupid to me at this point. I'm really thankful that I enjoy it. So with that, I'll give up the mic. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say, I think it's okay for us to edit the rules a little now. The reason that I created the rule, if you didn't do all of the homework, you can't share, is because I have been in many groups before where people would show up and they didn't do any pre-reading or anything, you know, that the rest of the group did, but they were full of opinions. And I didn't want this group to go in that direction. So that's where that rule came from. But I think most people in this group now have really been sticking with it for a while. If, you know, occasionally you miss a meditation, or even occasionally you realize you went the whole day and forgot the lesson, I think we can overlook that. Why don't we edit the rule to, you know, still, if you aren't doing the homework, if you just aren't doing it, don't comment, right? But if you are doing it to the best of your ability, but you know, quote, perfection just doesn't happen sometimes, please feel free to go ahead and comment. So hopefully that's understood. I'm just noticing Nancy said, yes, awareness of the drowsy feeling that comes over me along with breath, sounds, etc. A real revolution, a revelation that could be included in awareness, watching awareness. George, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Yeah, as far as the daily lessons, I do the daily lessons. I don't always remember to do them on the hour or whatever the instructions call for. I do them throughout the day as I remember, but not as often as I would like to. So I'm enjoying the meditations that you've posted. I do those every day. And, of course, I'm retired, so I have a free schedule. I usually do them twice a day. There was something, and you'll probably cover it, but in Acts chapter 19, I really noticed there was the path to awakening described in three stages. And stage one was the search, which really had a good description of the ego and the Holy Spirit. And then stage two was, they called it a loosening. I called it just getting serious. And then stage three, the stage of guidance. And I enjoyed the information in chapter 19 there, as well as all of Acts. So. Okay, I will drop the mic.
Thank you very much, George. And Doreen, the mic is yours. By the way, I'm gonna make an announcement about Doreen. Today, Doreen finished her last MPP class. So, Doreen, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Regina, and everybody. It's very exciting. I was telling her earlier today, I feel a little bittersweet about it, but it's great that we have the gentle healing group that will make me feel like I'm still a part of, you know, of contemplating and reading and sharing. So thank you, everyone. So what I wanted to share is just a few things. I saw Wonder Woman this weekend, and Wonder Woman is yet one another story. I'm not into the comics or anything like that, and I don't generally like this, but for some reason I decided to go with a couple of friends. But there's a movie, you know, the movie essentially is about someone conquering their ego. I mean, if I were to an overall umbrella over it all. But there was a part in the movie that reminded me of a section in lesson 151. There is a part in the movie, and without giving it away, there's a character I would probably call the ego character, and then there's, you know, Wonder Woman. And it came to a point when he was really, really trying to entice her to really see others as weak and destructive, and cause her to go in the way he wanted her to go. And in this chapter, or in this lesson, there's a part that says, you merely can believe the ego's judgments, all of which are false. It guides your senses carefully to prove how weak you are, how helpless and afraid, how apprehensive of just punishment, how black with sin, how wretched is your guilt. And there is a scene in the movie where it just totally, totally depicted this. And so anyway, if you all, I mean, there are other pieces. I feel like I want to go watch the movie again with this, you know, I was starting to see how what was unfolding. So just an interesting thing to observe. The other thing I wanted to mention is I really appreciated NTI and ACTS and the description of all the different stages. It was probably the third or fourth time that I think I read the chapter, and a couple of, maybe about a year and a half ago, I actually listened to the audios that are on, that's on Regina.com, Regina.com. And I listened to the first two chapters again this week, online. And I just really appreciated the breakdown of the stages and how honest they were about what, someone who's going through an awakening process can go through and what to experience, and the reassurance that Holy Spirit is always with me. So it's, I really appreciated it. I, again, like everybody else, I really enjoyed the meditations. Really put me in a deep, kind of a deep experience or a deep meditation. Sorry. I like that too. And then I wanted to share something that happened during the call last week. I think we were probably 30 minutes into the call, and I received a very urgent text. And the text was from the National Bone Marrow Registry saying that they really, really urgently needed to speak to me. And I had ignored phone calls from them the previous week, thinking it was telemarketing. So to make a long story short, 21 years ago, I signed up for the bone marrow registry, and they just found a match for me. And so, I am currently contemplating, to what extent I will, participate in this. It's still in the very early stages, but, it's interesting to observe myself and to observe other people as I tell them what this could potentially mean, being a donor, a bone marrow donor for someone who is really in need. And what I notice about myself is that, there's a calmness, like there's part of me, a deep part of me that just knows that I'm going to do this. If it comes to that point, there's still a lot of things that need to happen before then, but if it comes to that, there's a part of me that knows that I'm going to do that, and then there's parts of me that still need to get on board. But what I don't have the level of anxiety that I thought I would have when this situation would bring up. And I'm noticing some of the anxiety in other people, and all the things that I see that they may have concerns about in me, I don't have. And I really can attribute a lot of that to my understanding or my growing understanding of the body, you know, what the body really is, a growing understanding of the fact that we are all one. I absolutely, it doesn't even concern me at all who this person would be or how this person would be. It is just, it just doesn't matter to me, because I was thinking, I said, you know, I was told somebody today, there's so much tension in our community right now. The KKK is supposed to be coming for a rally. I said, you know what? It wouldn't even matter to me if this person I was donating to was a member of the KKK. It would not matter to me. I would still feel the same way. And that part is amazing to me, that somehow I've have this level of understanding now. So I'm just, I guess I'm expressing gratitude for this teaching, for this work, and for Regina and all of you who are sharing in the way that you do, because it really does help everybody deepen in their own practice. So that's all I have. So thank you all. I'm letting go.
Yeah, thank you very much, Doreen, for sharing that. And, you know, I really appreciate that you said it wouldn't even matter to you if it was a member of the KKK. Before I came over here, as I mentioned, I was watching the news, and, of course, one of the stories that's in the news right now is about this boy, Otto, who has died, you know, who came home from North Korea in a coma. And, you know, in addition to, you know, being very brutal with prisoners, we know North Korea has nuclear weapons, and, you know, maybe one of their fantasies is to be able to nuke the United States of America. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I just don't have any feelings but love for the leader of North Korea. I mean, I think I'm incapable of it. And I thought, you know, most people I couldn't say that to. They simply would not understand, you know, at least right now. But that's the point you get to. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's yay, you know, for all the brutality and yay for the nuclear weapons, you know. I mean, but there's nothing but love for anybody who is life. And so thank you for expressing that same thing. Sharon, the mic is yours.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. I've been, I guess for me, I've been following the general guidance, the general healing. But I have to admit, I've been doing the Course in Miracles for years, and I get annoyed with the lessons, and I have no idea why. But I ordered the Michael Langford's direct quotes, and I do contemplation, and that doesn't annoy me. And when I open NTI, that doesn't annoy me. But often through the years, because it's so wordy, the Course in Miracles has annoyed me. And, you know, I know we could all say that's the ego, probably, because, you know, spirit wouldn't be annoyed. But there's a part of me that really knows that sometimes it is too much. It's, you know, my preference is that I like a direct teaching. I don't, you know, I've done the thinking, this, you know, but when I open NTI, yeah, it might not be ego. It might be preference, because I'm still doing, I'm in this process all the time. And, you know, except I will say today, I do a 12-step too at my house, and I do one on Saturdays, and that's also very helpful. For me, you know, I looked at this book, would be, that's really helping me get to some of the things that I'm hiding through food. The book, wait a minute, I want to look at it, because it might be, you know, I don't want to, like, look, I have ADD, so I don't want to give everybody, but it's called Women, Food, and God by Janine Roth. And I got her, I got that off of Adeshante's book. I love to read, you know, well, what goes on with food is that food is like any other substance. You know, we bring it back to, do we live to eat, or do we live to eat, or do we eat to live? Because what it is a cry out for truth when we're eating. We you know, when we're eating, when we're hungry, we gotta listen. So behind that is all this unworthiness. Cause, you know, I've always gone up and down on the scale. And I, you know, you wouldn't consider me heavy, but I go up 20 pounds, so, and 20 pounds down, and that's showing me that I'm hiding a lot of unworthiness behind food. So what happened, you know, I gotta say for people that like Michael Langford's, you know, direct path, he really went to a lot of work, and I looked through it, and it's so direct, and it just is easier for me. But I do look at Regina's, I do a lot of what Fran does. I look at her pointers because it's always awareness. And I think, Regina, you had a feeling about the course too, like, but I'm not going to say that I wouldn't open it up again. You know, of course I do the lessons because I'm, you know, looking at your stuff, but I'm not really doing it like I used to. It's just too long. Now, I also do awareness watching awareness. I can be there sometimes in the morning for 2 hours, but I must, you know, be honest and say that I'm listening to Karen on YouTube. And I also listen to Karen on the lessons. Now, that's where I listen to, you know, the lessons. I love the way she teaches. So, you know, I followed it. And what I love about the consistent gentle healing is it remains to keep me on the path. And when I'm not consistent, I can call myself out, you know, because I admitted that last week in a teaching that, you know, that I had to be honest. I wasn't putting in as much as I really being alert. And, you know, I have to say, I don't see anymore. I see everything is in me. And the stories I had about my son that I was completely like hung up over seem to have fallen away. Now he's doing better, and that could be one of the reasons, but I don't talk to him like I used to. I was addicted to talking to him, you know, and then a realization came that he's in God. So what could happen to him? Right. And so I don't know. I love belonging here, but I like that you left it open a little bit more, Regina, because it leaves me to know, like, I still have to follow my guidance, but my guidance also has always included you in there since I started on this path. So it's all working out great. But I will say that this is a book that I would recommend if you have a book that you want to do, Woman, Food, and God, because it is, you know, overeating is something that you're still doing it to hide. We do certain things to hide our unworthiness. Unworthiness comes up, and a lot of fear comes up too now, which is all good. This is what's supposed to be coming up. So, you know, when you opened up this consistent thing, it's like, Sharon, remain consistent. You have this to look at, and it really is really fun. But like I said, I might not read those lessons like, you know, I don't know. I would love to get to, I just remember, Regina, you telling me the course was not your favorite. So I don't know. Anyway, thank you all. I love you. And thanks, Regina.
Yeah, it's true. The course is not my favorite. I started with the course again. I started with the workbook because of its consistency. And we needed something consistent to get us going. But you'll notice we're not doing that much reading from A Course in Miracles. You know, I thought it was interesting, for example, when Jacqueline was interviewing Fred Davis for the Satsang last month, and she asked him about the course, and he said something like, yeah, he did it. You know, and he said, he made a comment like, the truth's in there, but there's a lot of other stuff in there too. And that's really it, you know, and you have to be able to filter through what points directly to truth and what can actually turn into a distraction. So I think, let me tell you guys how I read the course workbook lessons, because obviously I read them or I couldn't write the tips. And I get up and I start every morning. That's how I begin the morning, is by reading whatever workbook lesson I'm on that day. And when I read the workbook lesson, what I do is I underline the lines I really feel guided to underline. You know, it's kind of an intuitive thing, you know, underline this. And I go through, I read, and I underline. And then I go back and I read and I contemplate my underlines. And that's where it all gets brought to a head. That's where it all gets brought to clarity. And that's where my tips come from. Because the course is very, very wordy. And especially, you know, in my case, and maybe some of you too, I'm reading the course as soon as I get out of bed. And, you know, that's not the brain's best moment often anyway. And so it's an awful lot of words, and sometimes I have to read some of those sentences two or three times because my brain just isn't fully awake yet. But I'm sipping on that coffee. It's waking up as I go. But when I read through the course, and I'll pause. I'll read, you know, a few sentences and then just sit there and sip some coffee and let it marinate and then read the next few sentences. I do it very slow. You know, when we have course lessons like the one that you all just now had, 152, or the one you're going to have tomorrow, 153, they're fairly long. It can take me 45 minutes to an hour just to read the lesson and contemplate it. So it's not something I'm rushing through. But I do read it slowly. I underline the lines I feel to underline. And then when I go back over it, I focus only on my underlines. And that is where the tips come from. Like I said, that brings it to a head. That cuts out the unnecessary words, and only those things that really need to be contemplated stand out. So those of you who are reading the course and feeling like it's too wordy and you're not getting a lot out of it, you might try that method of reading. Read, underline, and then go back and read just your underlines and contemplate that. And you might find the message that's for you really in the underlines. And that took us to the top, to the quarter till an hour, but that's how long the sharing is supposed to be. So that's our 45 minutes of sharing. So I am going to start in now. I don't know if everybody reads my tips. I know some of you all read the tips, but I do recommend the tips. And I don't recommend, of course, y'all are going to do whatever you want to do. But I don't recommend, reading the tip at the end of the day. I recommend reading the tip at the top of the day. You know, I think it's great if you go through the course on your own first, and if you, you know, do the underlining that I just suggested and contemplate that and then read the tip. But I don't recommend waiting to the end of the day. I think that if you read the tip, it could bring some additional clarity. It can bring some additional practice. For example, in lesson 152, which you all have been on for the last 2 days, you know, the tip is really recommending how to look at the decisions that you make that you might not even think of as decisions, right? Some of the examples are, I don't want to do this. You know, most people, when they have the thought, I don't want to do dishes, or I don't want to, you know, go outside and pull weeds, they don't really think of that as a decision. You know, a decision is, do I want the Diet Coke or water, right? But this is also a decision. You know, some other decisions that are in here are things like, I hate traffic, or I hate this heat, or, you know, I hate mean people, or stupid people, or I hate myself. These are all decisions. And in fact, I'm not going to go through the entire list, but there's an entire list. And if you were to read this tip at the top of the first day that you were doing lesson 152, and then practice this tip, what would happen over those 2 days when you're doing lesson 152 is you would start to notice things in your own mind you weren't noticing. The tip was intended to help bring things out of unconsciousness and make them conscious so that you could see them. So I do recommend the tips. I do recommend the tips at the top of the day. And again, I recommend when reading the lesson, consider underlining and then contemplating your underlining. And maybe that will help to reduce some of the wordiness for you. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to begin sharing on NTI Acts chapter 19 through, I think it's 28, the end of Acts. Let me get that open here. I am so full. It's funny, I don't know why I'm so full, but I am just stuffed. I didn't have that big of a dinner, but I feel like I ate a turkey dinner. Let's see, NTI Acts. All right, NTI Acts chapter 19 starts on page 246, and I will be going over just my underlines because I do the same thing with NTI Acts, you know, with everything that we read. I read, I underline, and then I go back and I contemplate my underlining. In fact, those of you that have known me for a really long time, you know, really, really long time, like, you know, prior to Awakening Together, back when I used to teach something called Awakening on ACIM Gather, it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I had two 10 o'clock in the morning slots per week, and sometimes I have one 10 o'clock in the morning slot per week. But I would share from other books. Like one of the books I shared from for years was Eckhart Tolle's New Earth. Another book that I shared from years was Jan Fraser's When Fear Falls Away. And if you guys remember those days, then you remember that what I only shared on my underlines. Do you remember that? I read the book first. I underlined what I felt to underline. And then when I came into ACIM Gather and started sharing during the Awakening half hour, I only shared from my underlines. So this is a style that I've used for a very, very long time, and it's been very effective for me. So you may want to try that. Read something through once, underline it, and then go back and contemplate your underlines. All right, so beginning on page 246, NTI, Acts chapter 19. My first underline is at verses 8 to 10. The beginning of your path may seem to be a time of study, reflection, and questioning, but more is happening within your mind than that. You are beginning to let me loosen thoughts you have held firmly to until now. It is important that these false beliefs be loosened so you can take the next step to let them go. So that's really what's happening in the first stage of the path when we seem to be reading lots of different spiritual books is, you know, up until that point when we started reading those books or listening to those teachers, you know, we had a way of thinking that came from our experience, a way of thinking that came from our parents, our grandparents, our religion of growing up, our school system, our country, our race, you know, whatever else that I'm leaving gender. Out, our gender. Yeah, you know, you had a way of thinking that was, you know, based on all of these influences. And you need something, you know, to come in kind of like a crowbar and start prying some of those thoughts loose. You know, you're not going to let them go if they aren't loosened first. And that's the purpose of the first phase of the path when you're doing all of the spiritual reading. You seem to be reading a lot of books. You're listening to a lot of different teachers. And the books you're reading and the teachers you're listening to are saying things that are not in alignment with the way you were taught to think or the way you learned to think. And so what's happening is those thoughts are beginning to get loosened. And what NTI says is this is a very, very important stage. So if it seems to take time, don't be disheartened. Don't be disheartened that you won't, you know, don't read books for a year and then wake up. You know, there's a lot, you can't imagine the number of thoughts that are in your mind that need to be loosened up. So it's okay if this takes time. It's very, very important. On page 247 at the top of the page, starting with sentence 7, follow internal prompts to read certain books or go to certain teachers, but do not feel you need to go to them all. Do not feel that they have an answer they can give you. The answer is always within. So this is guidance most specifically to someone who's in that first stage. And, you know, a lot of reading is happening, a lot of listening. You know, it's kind of like some of you guys are of the age, I know you experimented with drugs. Ken's sitting there shaking his head, no, but I know some of y'all did. Well, it's kind of the same thing. This early phase is like being a spiritual teenager. You're experimenting with spirituality, right? When you're listening to all of these different teachers and you're reading all of these different you're reading all of these different books, right? But as you're experimenting with spirituality, what you need to be doing is listening to your internal prompts. Your internal prompts are guiding you into what to pay attention to and what to let go of. It's really important to listen to yourself rather than others. Because someone else may come along and say, oh, you should read this book. You know, this is the greatest book I ever read. And if you feel a yes inside yourself, then you should read the book. But if you feel a no inside yourself, you should let it go. Because as Francine so eloquently pointed out earlier, there just isn't time to read everything. And you don't want to waste your time, right? You want to read what you're guided to read and focus on that and leave everything else alone. There's way too much stuff out there, way too many teachers, way too many books, and they're definitely not all for you. So pay attention to that intuition as you go through this phase of what I'll call spiritual experimentation, when those thoughts are being loosened. Underneath verses 11 to 22, starting with sentence 7, so as you read and listen to the teachers that cross your path, also feel what they say within. If you are to accept what you read or what you hear, I will tell you from within to accept it. You will know it is for you because I have told you it is. If you do not feel an internal confirmation to pay attention and accept what you read or what you hear, you may let it go. I will tell you there are a number of books that I read during my spiritual experimentation phase where there might be two things in the entire book that I felt that internal prompt to take, to accept, to make mine. And the whole rest of the book got thrown out. You know, or sometimes maybe it was a 50-50 thing. There were even books where 90% I felt to take, but 10% still ignore. And I have noticed some people feel that you either have to accept a book as a whole or discard a book as a whole. I found that to almost never be true. Almost never. Every book has weaknesses. Probably every teacher has weaknesses as well. It's really important to be able to cherry pick, you know, based on what your internal prompt is telling you. Take this, take this, take this, leave that. Take this, take this, take this, leave that. Right? And you gotta listen to that. You also want to be careful about, you know, sometimes you run across teachers who, I'm gonna say, just show their butt. They do something stupid and they show their butt. And it's very, very clear that the teacher has not yet mastered the teaching. Right? But that doesn't mean that some of the teaching isn't still for you to listen to. So be careful about, as they say, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I once heard a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but I love the story. I heard a story about a young man who followed a particular guru for like 20 years and did everything this guru told him to. And after about 20 years, it became evident that the guru was doing things like, you know, having sex with his female followers, even sometimes abusing, you know, children, having sex with children. Not the kind of person that, that most of us see as ethical. However, the student who listened to the teachings for 20 years woke up anyway. Because the student was listening to pure teachings. It didn't matter that the teacher wasn't pure, right? So you know, take what you are to take, leave what you are to leave, and do your best to avoid the judging of any of it. We talked about judging last week. I said an example of judging was I had a teacher who wanted me to not ask within, not look within, and just do whatever he said. And my withinness was not giving me that same guidance. In fact, if my withinness had said, do whatever he says, I would have done whatever he said. But my withinness was not giving me that same guidance. That did not feel right for me. So I knew when he told me that that's what I needed to do, that what I really needed to do was leave. I knew that. And that's discernment, right? The judgment that I cast upon that was, I told you all that I for the next couple of years, I considered him the great betrayer. See, that's judgment. So let your discernment guide you in what you are to take and what you are to not take, but do your best to avoid judgment. Just let everything be as it is. And in fact, near the bottom of page 247, it says, within you, there is a reason that knows. And it's going to go on to talk about the reason that doesn't know. But that reason that knows what's for you and what's not for you, that's what you want to pay attention to. So again, it says, within you, there is a reason that knows, and there is another reason that does not know. And we could also call this reasoning. There's a reasoning or a way of thinking that knows, but also within you, there's another reasoning that does not know what is in your best interest. And I would say one of the most important things on the spiritual path, and I can't mean this anymore. I mean, I really mean this. One of the most important things on the spiritual path is to learn the difference between your ego and that internal right mind. Because you're never going to be clearly guided if you don't know the difference. So one of the things you want to be focusing on as we're going through gentle healing is learning the difference between your ego and your internal guidance. And you want to start practicing, if it's ego, we talked about this a few weeks ago in one of our course lessons. You want to look at the source of the thought. Is it ego or is it, you know, internal spiritual wisdom? And based on the source alone, you keep and follow that thought or you discard it. And that's the only cause, the only reason for discernment. So let's say I'm having financial trouble and there's this fearful thought that's coming up and you know, giving me advice on what I could do to get out of financial trouble. I don't look at that advice and analyze it to determine if it's good advice or not. I don't look at that advice and ask my friends, what do you think of this advice? And then, you know, follow it or not follow it based on their opinions. I look at the advice and notice it came from fear. And I know fear is ego, and based on that alone, I discard it. That's how this works. That's how discernment works. The only cause for your decision, or the only way you make the decision on whether to listen or ignore is the source. You don't get involved in trying to think, is this good advice? And it's really important to learn the difference between the ego and internal wisdom. So what NTI is doing here, as you all know, is it's beginning to explain some of the things you can notice to help you learn whether this is your ego that's talking right now or whether this is internal wisdom. One of the things it says is that the ego's reasoning is based on a desire to protect individual self-will and individual self-interests. You know, so, you know, the ego is there to help me get people to like me. The ego is there to help me feel safe. The ego is there to help me, what else? I have trouble thinking about these kinds of things nowadays. I used to be able to rattle off lists because I was listening to the ego so much. But it's there to help me. Keyword is me. Now, sometimes that can be a we. You know, like you can bond with a particular work group or a particular family group, and then it's we, right? But the ego is self-interest. It's the outcome I want. It's what I think makes me happy. It's what I think makes me feel safe. It's self-interest. And if you really watch your mind, you're going to find that self-interest chatter is probably 90% of what's going on in your head. And it's all ego. It's all ego. So, sometimes people will say things like, well, if I don't have self-interest, you know, how do I know I'm going to be safe? How do I know that I'm going to be happy? How do I know that I'm going to get to retire by the lake? Well, first of all, you don't know that you're going to get to retire by the lake. All right, that I got to just throw out there. You don't know where your life is going to go.
You don't get to live in La Vida.
Yeah. You don't know that you're going to retire by the lake. But how do you know that you're going to be safe? You know, how do you know these other things? This is what's called living in trust. You just live in trust that your inner intuition is guiding you for your best interests. And that's the bottom line. But you don't trust in the specifics, like I'll get to live, you know, I'll get to retire and live by the lake. It's just this general trust that spiritual intuition has your best interests at heart. And then other than that, you allow the mystery to be. And that's much different. I mean, look at how few sentences it took me to say that. You live in trust, and other than that, you allow the mystery to be. That's much different than the ego, that I could never sit here and describe all the different ways the ego is going to try and achieve your self-interest. I just, you know, I can't. So all of that other stuff is ego. And it's always best when you notice the ego talking about how you can get this, how you can get that, how you can make that happen, to just drop it. Yeah, let me count the ways, Kathy says. Yeah. Also, another thing about the ego is the ego actually expects attack. And this is why if you pay attention to the ego, it is always defending. And in fact, tomorrow, your workbook lesson is going to be about defense and my defenselessness, my safety lies. And I've already written the tip, so I know what the tip's going to say. And one of the things you're going to be asked to do is start noticing the defensiveness in your mind. And just like I gave you examples of the types of decisions you make that you may not recognize as decisions, I give examples of the types of defensiveness that may be going on in your mind that you might not recognize as defensiveness. But if you start looking within and noticing what defensiveness really is, you'll notice the ego is defensive probably, I'm going to say, 40% of the time. You know, it's not the only thing the ego is thinking about, but there's a lot of defensiveness that goes on in the mind. So if you were to let go of being defensive, you'd take a big chunk out of the ego right off the bat, right? If you just decided to never be defensive again. So the ego is always expecting attack. It's always engaging in defense. That's one of the things it does. The spiritual intuition never engages in defense. The ego is fearful. Spiritual intuition is never fearful. And it's funny because in my years as a spiritual teacher, this is the one comment that people have argued with me on for a few times. They say, but I know that the fear is keeping me safe. You know, like the fear is trying to keep me safe. That must be spirit, right? And that's not true. Spirit doesn't come from fear. When spirit or internal wisdom comes, there is no fear in it. Now, sometimes fear will come immediately after. You know, like when I received the guidance to start writing with the Holy Spirit, when I received that guidance, in the moment that I received that guidance, there was just this peace and this willingness to say yes. And then immediately after that, all of this fear came. But the fear came when I shifted to the ego's point of view. Am I going crazy? Blah, 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 blah. And I started listening to all that, and that's when the fear came. The fear was a sign that I was listening to the ego about the guidance, not that I was listening to internal wisdom. So fear is always ego. You can let go of fear when you hear it, right? Unworthiness and guilt are always, always ego. Intuition, spiritual intuition, never comes with that flavor. So whenever you analyze that, and by analyze, I mean you asked why, and you got down to the reason I want to do this is because I think I'm unworthy, and if I do this, people won't see it. Well, then you know that's ego, right?
I don't want to.
Huh?
I don't want to.
You don't want to what?
That's an ego to me. When I get, I don't want to do that.
Oh, that's ego.
That's the
I don't
want to.
Yes.
Which is always, as you've said many times, is the prompt. That's what you need to be doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. One thing that's really important is, and I know that you all know this, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, as they say, but one thing that's really important is that the ego just sounds like, you know, me and my thoughts. And this is what makes the ego so hard to recognize. It just sounds like you. It just sounds like your thinking. And in fact, it might even sound like what you think is your better judgment. And that's why NTI recommends asking why. Why do I want to do this? Why do I want to make this move? Why do I want to change jobs? Why do I want to leave my partner? Why do I want to yell at her? You know, why do I want to stop being friends with him? Why do I want to, and go in and look at that. Why do I want to avoid this person? And start going in and looking, asking why. And we're going to be learning a little bit more about root cause inquiry as we go forward, which is really asking why. But ask why. And if it's ego, remember what I said a moment ago, just because it's ego, you don't listen to it. You don't, nothing else. You know, like let's say there's this person that you really don't like being around. Every time you're around this person, your feathers get ruffled. You're all upset. And, you know, and there's this voice saying, just stay away from her. You'll be at peace. Right? Just stay away from her. You'll be at peace. But then you go in and you do the root cause inquiry and you find out that you're really afraid of this person, that she's going to start pointing out to you how wrong you are, and you don't want to see how wrong you are. And you realize this is what's making you not want to be around the person. Well, the ego then is telling you not to be around the person. So what do you do? What do you do, Ken?
I will generally accept that I need to be around that person.
Accept that you need to be around that person. Exactly. You do the opposite of what the ego says. Yeah, and we saw that with Michael Singer, right? Didn't we? Isn't that what Michael Singer did? He did the opposite.
Yeah, of what the ego said. Walking around his property.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the other thing that NTI chapter 19 talked about was what internal spiritual intuition feels like, so you can recognize it. It called it Holy Spirit or right reason, using the language of the Course. It said, really, it's love. But then it said, but you don't know what love is.
Nope.
If I leave it at that, you're still going to be confused. So let me tell you some other things. This is how you'll recognize that it's an internal prompt. One is, again, if there is peace. Like when the guidance came to start writing with Holy Spirit, there was just this feeling of peace in that moment when the guidance came, right? Another way is acceptance. When you are feeling a prompt to accept something the way it is, or when you just genuinely feel acceptance for something, that's internal spiritual wisdom. Another is joy. Whenever you're joyous, you're listening to the right mind. The other is called recognition or remembrance. In other words, you just know. You just know. You know, one example that I use with people sometimes is every time I bought a house, you know, I look at house after house after house, and then I walk in a house, and I just know. This is it. You know, before that, I was looking at all kinds of details, looking at the bathtub and looking at the backyard and looking at all this stuff. But when I walk into the one where I just know, all of that even just stops. Because I just know this is the one, right? So that knowing, that recognition, or that remembrance is guidance. And it says, and always the purpose of one. That's very different from self-interest. The ego is so selfish, it can only think about me and mine. Spirit is exactly the opposite. It can only think about everyone. So when there's no self-interest in your decision, for example, a possible answer, at least for me, I don't know if it's true for all of you, but when I give money, that has nothing to do with me. Nothing. I'm not thinking about, can I afford to give this money? Can I not afford to give this money? Am I going to get a tax write-off of this money? You know, how will giving this money to this organization maybe benefit me later when I try to use that organization's services? I mean, none of that goes on. My giving of money has nothing to do with me. Therefore, I know that my giving of money is led by spirit or led by internal intuition, right? There's just no self-interest in it. It's just a prompt. Do it, and I do it, and it's done. I used to always call spirit's prompts clean. They had no baggage. If there's any baggage at all that you can find, it's probably ego. In fact, I want to say it is ego. But if it's just clean, I don't know, I just feel to give this money, or I just feel to move here, or I just feel to call this person, right? And I don't even know why, then you're probably listening to spirit. Acts chapter 20 talks about how after the loosening has happened, and the loosening again was, loosening all of those thoughts that you've believed for oh so long. After the loosening has occurred, then you enter the second stage of the path, which is where you start letting go. You start letting go of the thinking that you recognize as ego. And you, again, you let it go based on that fact alone, right? Nothing else really matters. It says, within your mind, there is a thick web of beliefs that have developed over time. I spoke to you about how these beliefs have come to be. We read this in like the first or second week of Gentle Healing. It was in Luke chapter 16 and 17. Meaning, believed and judged, and then reapplied as meaning is what creates this world of illusion in the mind. So, for example, you know, I'm not saying all men think this way, but I know my dad has, so, you know, my dad somewhere along the way made a decision that women make decisions based on emotion, right? I'm sure that there were women in his life that did, and in fact, I could name them. So he saw it, it proved him right, and it reinforced the belief, and now he has a belief that blinds him. He cannot see that that's not true of all women, right? So this is what we do. We make a decision. We see the proof, the limited proof of our decision, which just reinforces that we're right, and then that hardens the idea. So this is how this web of beliefs has been created. And what that really means is, to us, our thoughts have been proven right. I'm right. It's that loop. Yeah. The loop. I'm right. And by the way, Ken thinks he's right. Danielle thinks she's right, although she's very quiet about it. She's still sitting there thinking she's right. Becky thinks she's right. Francine thinks she's right. This is the way the ego is. I'm right. I know I'm right. Okay? Nancy says I'm right all the time. Exactly. And in phase two, we start accepting that that's not true. And we start letting go of our thinking, right? That's what's happening in phase two. We are letting go of the thinking that we have always thought I'm right. So if I was my dad, I would begin to let go of the idea that all women make decisions based on emotion, right? I have to let go of that idea. NTI says, faith in me will help you in this phase of your path. For you will be severely tempted to turn away from all that I have thought, all that I have taught. And it says the reason that you will be tempted to turn away is because your self-will is going to be threatened. And you still think your self-will is very important. You think that if I don't get my way, I won't be safe. I won't be happy. I won't appear worthy. Because, of course, you're not worthy, right? That's what the ego thinks. So you want to appear worthy. I won't appear worthy. And that gets very, very threatening, you know, because you're being asked to let go of all of your games. And there's just this fear. If I let go of all of my games, I'm screwed. You know, something's going to go wrong.
I will never get what I want.
I will never get what I want.
I will be a doormat.
I will be a doormat, yeah. And so you have to, again, have faith in that mystery. Have faith in that spiritual intuition. Have faith without knowing how things are going to unfold, that this is unfolding in your best interest. So it's really important to be able to have faith in that. Whatever you want to call that, it's really important. That will get you through this. If you don't have faith in that, you're going to fall back on yourself, because that's the only thing that you know that's going to keep you safe and happy. In fact, it says at the top of page 251, you must have faith in me above everything you see, hear, and experience in the world. And I cannot tell you how many times when I thought that I was facing dire disaster, how many times I repeated this sentence to myself. You must have faith in me above everything you see, hear, and experience in the world. You know, you must have faith in me above everything you see, hear, and experience in the world. Think about that level of faith. You know, for me, one of the big fears was running out of money. And I got very, very, very close to that point before money started coming in. And, you know, so it was one of those things where you get all the way down and you think, okay, money's running out, and then it doesn't. But you don't know it's not going to till it doesn't. And I'm not, you know, so when that was happening, in order for me to keep following guidance instead of running out and getting a job, because, again, I know how to run out and get a job, right? I was successful in the professional world. In order for me to keep following my guidance instead of running out and getting a job when that money was dwindling, 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 I had to have faith in spirit above everything that I saw, heard, and experienced in the world and believed, and above everything that I believed. I was clear on my guidance, and that's what helped. I knew I wasn't making it up. But I still needed a lot of courage in order to follow it instead of my old ways of keeping me safe. To let go of what you see, hear, and experience within the world is to let go of your thoughts of illusion, and to let go of your thoughts of illusion is to be released from illusion itself. That's why you do it, because you want truth, not illusion. Again, NTI Acts chapter 21 tells us that questioning your reason is going to help reduce delay. You know, if you start looking at why you want to run off and do this, why do you want to make this change? Why do you need that so badly? You're going to start finding all the ways that you're holding on to your ego. And then you can just start letting go, letting go, letting go. But in order to let go, first you have to see that it's ego. So that questioning why. And I remember when I used to do this in incredible detail. You know, a phone call would come that I wasn't there for, and I'd get home and there'd be a message on the phone machine. And I'd want to return the call, but when I looked to see why I wanted to return the call, I found out that it was guilt. I wanted to return the call because I didn't want the person to think bad of me. And so because I wanted to return the call out of guilt, I didn't return the call. And what would happen is, like, sometimes 2 or 3 days later, suddenly this thought would come, just pop up to call that person, and I would look at it, and it would be, like I said, clean. It wasn't that guilt still hanging there. It's like I let it go. I was not calling the person, and now this clean prompt shows up to call the person, and then I would call. So I really live by this in a very deep way. If I could see that it was ego, even if it was something as simple as returning a phone call, I wouldn't do it. Yeah, Tess Hugh, yeah, Becky is reminding me that Tess Hugh said she did the same thing. And I'll tell you again why I did it, because I knew that if I listened to the ego, even in those simple things like returning a phone call out of guilt, I was enlivening the ego in the mind, and what I wanted was for the ego to die. I wanted to starve the ego by not listening to it. On page 252, it also says, the will of the Holy Spirit is healing. When you join with his purpose, your only purpose is healing, and no other purpose shall distract you from it. This was also very, very important for me, you know, during that scary time of appearing to run out of money. And remember, I was a single mom. It wasn't just me I was running out of money for. I had this little kid here I wasn't going to have money for either, right? So I appeared to be running out of money. I was really scared, and yet I had guidance to continue, you know, doing what I was doing, which wasn't making any money at the time. It was things like writing NTI, right? The one thing that really helped me to follow guidance was remembering I wanted awakening more than anything. I wanted healing more than anything. More than anything. More than anything. That had to be there. If I hadn't wanted healing more than anything or awakening more than anything, I would have quit. I would have gone out and got a job and gone back to the way I knew how to take care of myself. And so that's what this is saying, is that you have to have that purpose of wanting healing more than anything, or you're not going to make it. You're just not. NTI also says that I will ask you to do things that make sense within the laws and the reason of the world, but I will also ask you to do things that do not make sense within the laws and within the reason of the world. It's kind of funny because some of us personalities are real rule followers, and some of us personalities are real rule breakers. The rule breakers are likely going to get guidance to start following some rules, and the rule followers are likely going to get guidance to start breaking some rules. Because it's your personality that we're breaking, right?
I'm a rule follower.
You're a rule follower.
Is wrong.
Yeah. I used to be a really rigid rule follower. Now it's a lot easier for me not to. Like, you know, I can look at the rule in the moment and say, does it, you know, right now, what's the best thing? Should we follow this rule or should we just ignore it? Is this an exception? And I do find that other people who are like I used to be, rule followers, and I happen to be surrounded by a few of them right now, I find it's a lot harder for them to do that. You know, but that will get broken. That will get broken. Like, a rule is a generalization, right? But sometimes the rule doesn't apply, and Spirit will let you know when. But again, there's other people that are on the opposite side of that. They never follow a rule, right? They hate rules, and those people are probably going to be guided to start following some rules. Start, maybe they'll even be put in a position where they need to enforce the rules. They'll be hall monitor or something. NTI Acts chapter 22 says that the third stage on this path is the stage of guidance or service. And this comes along a little later rather than right away, because right away we don't know the difference between our ego thought system and spirit. How can you be in spirit's service if you don't know the difference between your ego and spirit, right? I mean, you have to learn that discernment first. That's required. And you have to let go of enough of your thinking that there's, I'm going to call it, some space for spirit's guidance to rise up through. You know, if you imagine that your mind is so full of thoughts, spirit's guidance can't get through. It's like a wall. But once you let go of a certain number of thoughts, certain types of thinking, then there's some space there and Spirit's guidance can begin to rise up. So this is why it's not until the third stage that you really move into the path of guidance or service. You need to know the difference between your ego and service. That's really important. Otherwise, you're just going to be following your ego and calling it guidance. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Well, Becky and I started getting, I'll call it, guidance to move to Pueblo 2 years ago. We started talking to you about that. But every time I looked at it, I could feel ego bubbling of, ooh, ooh, we'll be special, we'll be me and Regina, ooh, ooh, we're going to be in the inner circle, ooh, ooh. And until I could get rid of that, and just feel the guidance. It's time for you. It's time for us to move to Pueblo.
Yeah. Yeah, and I spend very little time with Ken. I see him maybe on Tuesday evenings, unless the weather's bad, and that doesn't even happen. But I think Ken's supposed to be here too, to be honest, because I think what's probably going to happen is there's going to be some stuff starting up, like a retreat house. And we need people here to make it work. You know, so people need to be here. And I think there'll be some others who will be coming too. But this doesn't mean that we're going to have an inner circle. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be hanging out with people all the time. It doesn't even mean that you'll see me very often. It means that you'll be here in service, which is what we're talking about.
Right. And we had to be, that was very clear within us, that was not why we were going to move here.
Yeah. It's to be in service to Spirit.
Yeah. And this is next.
This is next.
We don't know what next is.
Yeah, we are all watching it step by step, but it is about that. It's not about Regina. Absolutely.
It's about her.
It's about Danielle?
Yeah, we're all here for her.
It started the Gentle Healing Group, too.
Well, yeah, them coming started the Gentle Healing Group, because I thought I should see him at least once a week. I need an excuse. Okay, we'll do a,
Thank you. We'll
do a Tuesday night group. Otherwise, I'd never see him.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. So anyway, that's why it's a third stage. But when you reach the stage of guidance, this doesn't mean that you're there, or the stage of service, this doesn't mean that you're there. In fact, one thing that Acts 22 really emphasizes is loosening of thoughts still is happening, and letting go of thoughts still needs to happen, but at least enough loosening and letting go has happened that you can, you know, intuit the difference between your ego and guidance, and you can start following that guidance and be in service. You have to have that intuitive knowing in order to really do it. And it says this is how the merging occurs, that as you start following that intuitive knowing in service, that just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And pretty soon, I don't know how long pretty soon is. I don't mean a couple weeks. It could be, but it could be years and years and years too. But eventually, you don't know the difference between your will and Spirit's will anymore. It's not because you're listening to ego and you think that's Spirit's will. It's because you've lost your self-will. And your will and Spirit's will is now the same. This is called the merging. And intuition is very, very natural. You don't have to think about things all the time. You don't know what you're going to do next, but when next comes, then you know. And you do. You just know. You feel that knowing all the time. And you can just go kind of one step at a time in service without a feeling of surrender anymore, because there's no self-will to surrender. NTI does say at NTI Acts chapter 23, just kind of a word of warning, that as you choose to walk through these stages 1, 2, and 3, there are going to be times it's going to be very, very difficult. And I told you guys that when we started Gentle Healing. And that's because sometimes you're really attached to your self-will, and that's what you're letting go of. And so it's going to be hard sometimes, right? And sometimes your self-will seems to have a life of its own, and it seems to kick and scream, like that ego seems like something. And that's pretty tough too, when that ego is kicking and screaming. I used to call it ego attack. And you just need to learn to rest, accept, and trust through those ego attacks. But it's not going to be easy all the time. At the top of page 256, did y'all's swamp healer break?
We turned it off.
Oh, you did.
It's so
okay.
Noisy.
Okay. Just so it didn't break, because I was going to say, you're going to get very hot in here if that thing broke. Okay, as long as it's turned off, that's cool. So page 256, what you look on is not at all real, and you face it to deny it. Actually, today in my Ramana Maharshi class, we talked about this, because Ramana Maharshi gives basically the same advice. He says, you have to accept that the world is not real. And the reason you have to accept that the world is not real is because you will just continue to react and respond in the way you always have if you think it is real. Like running out of money is a problem in a real world, right? And you have to do something, go out and get a job, you know, whatever you've always done, go ask daddy for money, whatever you do, in order to get money, because not having money in a real world is a problem. But in a world that's not real, the only thing you have to do is follow guidance. That's the only thing you have to do. But you probably aren't going to follow guidance in a very genuine way if you think the world is real. You're going to be too distracted by what you think is real, what you think is true. So one thing that's really important, even if you don't know it for a fact, is to accept on faith that the world is not real, and that if you listen to guidance, things will work themselves out. And what you'll learn if you do that is that it's true. And things will work themselves out in ways you never would have imagined. And that's a lot of fun to watch. And then NTI Acts chapter 25 starts saying, let me show you how you can live in this world and not be afraid. Start looking at the world as if it's a play. And everybody in the world is an actor, whether they know it or not. You know, they may believe the role they're playing, but they're just an actor. Look at every single person as an actor. And what they're doing is just delivering their script. And in fact, you can see their thoughts as the script. You know, like we all have this little teleprompter called a brain. And our thoughts come into that teleprompter, and we believe them, and we act out our roles. And that's all anybody is doing. Every single person is just an actor acting out the script. But what it says is this script has many, many slits in it where you can exit into awakening. And so what you want to do in order to awaken is you want to remember it's just a script, everybody is playing their role. But you want to start listening to, you could say, a different director. You want to listen to the director that's directing you towards the slits in the script, rather than the one that's directing you to keep playing, keep playing, keep playing, right? And that's how you want to see the world. And so when you see the world in that way, you'll look at, what's his name, Kim Jong-un or something like that. Who's that guy in Korea? Is that his name?
Kim Jong-un.
Okay, you'll look at Kim. I mean, Kim is the easiest thing to look at in the world and see a character. And if you can't see a character there, you've never read a novel or watched a movie, is all I can figure, because it's a character. And so you look and you see a character playing its role. Donald Trump is a character, right? Everybody is a character. Your husband, your wife, your children. And you just start noticing all of these characters around you playing out their script, just delivering their lines, not knowing it, and you be the one that's listening for the different director. You don't get involved in the play. I remember with Jasmine, when Jasmine was going through that age where girls could get, you know, I don't know, rebellious, 12, 13, 14, 15. And, you know, she would say things to me, which, you know, I've seen many, many mothers and daughters in that age just get in these yelling fights, yelling back and forth at each other, right? And she would say things to me that would be the types of things that would start these kinds of fights. And what I would hear is, just walk away. So I just turn around and walk away. It's just not playing the game. You know, and it was guidance to just walk away. So you want to listen for the director that's leading you away from the play. It says, as you do this, you'll know that you're doing it because your feelings about all the other characters will begin to change. If you start to see them as, if you see them as characters, or, you know, I see them as life acting like characters is really how I see them. I don't see them as characters. I see them as life believing their characters and believing a script. And when you start seeing them as life, believing their characters and therefore believing a script, the feeling that you get is love. You love everyone. You don't love everyone if you believe the characters to be real, you know, because then there are some characters you're going to like and some characters you're not going to like. But if you believe, if you see them all as life, mistaking itself for a character and therefore living out a script, you love them all. It's easy, it's natural, you don't even have to think about it. So one of the ways that you can tell you're really starting to do this is when you start to have this feeling of love that you can't explain. How do you explain that you love Kim Jong-un? How do you explain that? You can't. And so you don't. You just sit back and secretly love him, right? And you don't need to go around telling other people they gotta love him either. You're not there yet if you gotta do that. You just sit back and secretly love him yourself. It's just like that. Now, NTI Acts 26 says that as you become more mature at seeing life as a script, you know, you might not pop out of the script right away. You're still here playing along. And it says there's a reason for that. The reason that you're here still playing along in the script is because other people see that in you. They see that in you. They see that you're not caught up and worried about this. They see that you're not afraid. They see that you're not angry. And this begins to awaken them. And so one way that the awakening happens for all of us is for there to be some, you know, awakened beings or relatively awakened beings that are here as a part of the, as a part of the thing. So that's what Acts chapter 26 is saying. There's a reason for you to continue even as you become very mature in seeing the unreality of everything and seeing through it to the truth. Acts chapter 27. If you are to exit the script that is the world and join with me as a true teacher, you must be willing to follow me in all things. You must be willing to listen only to me. You must be willing to follow me in all things. You must be willing to listen to only to me. That's really important. Again, you're listening because of the source. You're not deciding for yourself, is this the best thing I should do? The only thing you have to decide is this ego or is this prompt? And then just because it's prompt, you do it. There's no other need to think about it at all. I love page 258, the italics part, where it says, in each circumstance and every situation along the way to me, I am there with you, offering help and guidance. Never am I not there. Never can you make a mistake that will drive me away. Because there's that thought in the mind, right, that you can screw up so bad, Holy Spirit's not going to like you anymore. Or Holy Spirit's going to give up on you. Never can you make a mistake that will drive me away. But it is also true that you can only hear my word and accept my help if you are willing to see that the answer to all things is me. So even though Spirit's always there, you can be totally unaware if you still want to handle everything yourself. So in order to realize that Spirit is there, again, you have to be willing to let go of that self-will, and you have to be willing to ask, what am I to do now? And follow guidance simply because it's guidance. You have to let go of self-interest and self-will. You just have to. If you choose to limit the circumstances in which I may help, my help is limited. And most people do this at a certain stage. It's like they're willing to trust Spirit with this and this and this, but not with that and that and that, you know, because these things I got to control. And it depends on the person as to what those things are. Spirit is saying, if you choose to limit the circumstances in which I may help, then my help is limited. You know, so you have to decide to turn everything over to guidance. If you choose to solve your problems on your own, my answer remains unheard. Always, I am with you, able to help. Always, without exception, I am there. But you must be willing to know me and accept me in order to receive me as yours. And I think that's all I'll do because of the time. But just kind of as after I read it, I wrote down a little summary in the back. So let me just kind of read my summary. So basically what this is saying is the step one is the loosening of the way we've always thought. Step two is now letting go of the way we've always thought. And this is going to include a lot of consistent inquiry. Why do I want to do this? Why am I thinking this? Why do I feel this way? You know, a lot of looking is happening. And then step three or stage three is the merging with Holy Spirit or the merging with inner intuition. But that happens through discernment, through looking to see if this ego or prompt, and then making your decision on whether you'll do it or not based solely on the source. Letting go of self-will and self-interest. Living in a state of acceptance of what is and trusting the mystery. And listening only to that one voice, the inner intuition in all things. That's kind of a summary of Acts. So, with that, I'm going to run into the untethered soul for a few minutes. Fortunately, these chapters are very short and very simple. Let's see. Oops. I think I know what chapter, but let me double check. I think it's chapter 5. Yeah, chapter 5 that I'm supposed to read to you, or share from is the way I'll word it, because I'm not going to sit here and read it to you. My untethered soul book is starting to fall apart like NTI did. I'm going to have to go get it bound because I use it so much. All right, so chapter 5. I kind of know what the chapter is about, but I'll open it up anyway. But I could almost sit here and say, here's what chapter 5 is about. So chapter 5 is about energy. And it's about the fact that energy is always present, and you can allow that energy to move through you in a natural flow, or you can block it. And when you choose to block energy, you're going to create pain and suffering for yourself. If you allow energy to always, always flow, you're going to be free. And that's kind of the basic idea. So let me see what I want to share here. This says, creating thoughts, holding on to thoughts, recalling thoughts, generating emotions, controlling emotions, and disciplining powerful inner drives all require a tremendous expenditure of energy. So in other words, if you are in your head all day long, you're using up more energy than if you were just in a state of trust with the mystery. As a result, you're going to get more tired. You might get headaches or other kinds of pains. You're certainly going to feel, you know, annoyance, frustration, stress. And this is all coming about because you're living in your head. So if you learn to live in a state of openness and a state of trust, you're not going to use up as much energy, and you're going to feel more relaxed, and you're going to feel more at peace. He says, what you'll see if you watch carefully is that there is a phenomenal amount of energy that's always available to you. But the reason you don't feel this energy, the reason you don't feel energetic from the time you get out of bed till the time you go to bed, is because you block it. You cut off the energy by closing your heart and closing your mind and pulling yourself into a restrictive space inside. And that restrictive space inside, you can see it if you look for it. It's what I call being in your head, but it's having all of your attention focused on like this one little spot that's called your thoughts. And you're just walking around staring at your thoughts all day long. And if you think about how big the world is, how big the space around you is, and think about all the things that are going on. I mean, if I was to sit here and just glance around the room right now and tell you everything I see going on, it would take a long time. I mean, I see leaves moving outside. I could sit here and even tell you that this leaf is bouncing up and down, this leaf is swaying back and forth. You know, and just the more you look when you're outside, you just see more and more and more things. In fact, if you saw the movie Peaceful Warrior, remember how when Dan Millman came to the park that one day, he said, you know, nothing's happening. And then Socrates reached out and touched him. And when he reached out and touched him, something happened. He had this mystical experience. And all of a sudden, he saw all the things that are happening. You know, and he was just amazed at everything that was going on. But when you're in your head, when you're focused on just this little pinpoint of your thinking all day long, you miss everything. But you also are blocking, it's like you're taking all of this energy and you're blocking it inside of this restrictive area of yourself. And you're not allowing energy to just kind of flow through you. You're not openness. You're restriction. You're closeness. And so because you're restriction and you're closeness, the energy has to struggle. It has to struggle to move through. There's a struggle that's going on with you. And that's when you feel stressed, you feel frustrated, you feel annoyed, and you get tired. You know, sometimes people are amazed at spiritual teachers and how much they get done. You know, they get up at, 4 or 5 in the morning, and they go from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, and then they go to bed when it's time to go to bed. And, you know, I've heard people more than once ask spiritual teachers, how can you do all of that? And the answer is they're not blocking anything, and so the energy, it just keeps moving through them. They're constantly being resupplied with energy. So what Chapter 5 is asking us to do is to start noticing how we block this energy within us by being focused on that restrictive area called our thoughts and learning to open up. The example that he uses, the term that he uses, and this is just a term, but he says, although various energy centers exist within you, the one you intuitively know the most about is opening and closing your heart. He says, when you close your heart synergy, when you close your heart center, energy can't flow in. When energy can't flow in, there is darkness. And depending on how closed you are, you either feel tremendous disturbance or overwhelming lethargy. Is that how you pronounce the word? Tired as hell. I know what it means, right? Tired as hell. It says that, so the way that you can tell that you're walking around with a closed heart is that you either are, like I said, you're stressed, you're annoyed, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're tired. You know, something along those lines. What's happening is that you are closing up to life. You know, like, I just had to pick on something, Ken, and you're right there, so I'm going to pick on you. You're not doing anything wrong, but I'm going to pretend like you are.
Okay.
Ken is sitting here kind of doing something with his hands. You know, just lifting and closing his fingers, lifting and closing his fingers. Well, let's say for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, you know, that bothers me. You know, and I'm trying to pay attention. I'm trying to teach here, Ken. And you're opening and closing your fingers, and you're really distracting me. And I don't know how I'm supposed to focus, right? Let's say all this is going on in my mind. Well, what's happening is I'm actually closing up. Do you see how focused I got on my thinking about me? And I can't concentrate, and what's wrong with you, and why aren't you more respectful? See how restrictive I got on my thinking? And I'm also blocking out, I am saying no to Ken's, you know, ability to sit there and let his fingers go up and down, right? That's the blocking out, that's the rejection of what is, and the closing down to a very, very narrow, restrictive space where I'm focused on my thoughts. That's what blocks energy. That's what it looks like. And the more things in life you say no to, the more you close down, the more you get lost in your head, the more you're going to experience, you know, frustration, stress, tiredness, you know, whatever else I said. So again, this is a lot just like the loving all method that we've already learned, only here he calls it having an open heart. He says what you want to do is you want to allow everything to come in and move right through your heart. So here's the way that I would experience that. So let's say, and I'm going to experience it not as an advanced person who just simply isn't bothered, right? Because that you get there. I'm going to experience it as someone who's trying to learn this. So I'm sitting here trying to teach, and Ken's got his damn fingers flapping up and down, right? So I notice that. I don't notice Ken's got his damn fingers flapping up and down. I notice I think that. I notice I feel that. I notice I'm rejecting that. And I remember that I'm closing down. I'm restricting the energy. And I take a deep breath, and I choose to allow it to be as it is, and I open up. I allow Ken's fingers to flap. I allow all of my frustration to move right on through. I don't say, no, I'm not frustrated when I am. I just allow all of my frustration to move on through. You know, I become the space and just allow everything to be. And what happens is it does move right on through. I often taught this as rest, accept, and trust. You guys will know it as that. As we learn to open up and allow everything to move on through, we're no longer blocking the energy. And what we're going to find as we get more and more practice at this is we're going to find ourselves in natural acceptance of what is. We're going to find ourselves loving life. We're going to find ourselves having the energy to do whatever the day asks us to do. We're going to find ourselves being happy. But that comes about from being open instead of closed, aware instead of lost in my head. Right? Let's see if there's some other, I have a little bit of time, let's see if there's some other words here I want to read. Well, this is funny, but listen to it, it's true. He says, there is a very simple method for staying open. You stay open by never closing. It's really that simple. Just allow everything to be as it is. It's the loving all method, once again, right? He says, closing is a habit And just like any other habit, it can be broken. For example, you could be the type of person who has an underlying fear of people and tends to close when you first meet them. You could actually be in the habit of experiencing an uptight, closing sensation whenever somebody walks up to you. You can train yourself to do the opposite. You can train yourself to open every time you see a person. Right? So again, it's a habit. It's going to take some work. And that's why I demonstrated a moment ago where at first, boom, at first, you know, Ken's opening, closing fingers are bothering me. And at first I get frustrated, but then I notice. I see that I'm closing. I take a deep breath. I allow Ken's fingers to flap. I don't say anything to Ken. Right? I allow my frustration to move on through. He says, you can learn to stay open no matter what happens in this world. What you'll find is that the only thing you really want from life is to feel enthusiasm, joy, and love. And if you can feel that all the time, then really who cares what happens on the outside? You know, and you learn to feel that enthusiasm, joy, and love all the time by remaining open. And remember, remaining open also means not being lost in your own little spot here, judging, thinking. I wish you guys could see me on video. I'm like holding a little circle on my head, like that's all where all my thoughts are, and all my attention is right there, and I'm just lost in my head. I don't see anything going on, you know. When that's being as closed as you can get. Living inside just your own little individual head world is as closed as you can get. And if that's where you're at, then you need to really start opening all the time. You need to, every time you notice you're lost in your thoughts, you need to look around. What's that tree doing right now? And just open, breathe, become spacious. Again, he's saying, be open no matter what. This is what I know what this chapter's about, because he just keeps repeating himself. But he has to repeat himself because, you know, we have such a strong habit of closing. He does say, you know, what if something happens that you have to deal with, a situation you have to deal with? He says, honor and respect the situation and deal with it. By all means, deal with it. Do the best you can, but deal with it with openness. Right? You can be open and do things too. You know, you have a car wreck. You can accept the fact that you just had a car wreck. You take a deep breath. You get out. The other person's mad at you because you did something stupid. You can accept that they're mad at you. You can even accept you did something stupid, because you know what? We all do sometimes, right? You can accept that you did something stupid. Okay, I admit it. That was my fault. The insurance company tells you not to say that, but what the hell? I admit it. That was my fault. Are you okay? What do we do now? What's the next step, right? You deal with it in openness. Just be open to whatever occurs. And he would tell you there's nothing you can leave out of that. There's no situation that you choose to close on. You remain open with all situations. He says, just keep opening and not closing. Just keep opening and not closing. He says, you do this by just relaxing and releasing over and over again, relax and release. You do this by not buying into the concept that there is anything worth closing over. You do not believe there is anything worth closing over. So a pretty repetitive chapter. Nothing ever, here's another sentence, nothing ever is worth closing your heart over, right? So it's really just a review of the Loving All method, but I think it's good for us to have this review. And here he is, better to be open no matter what. He just keeps saying it over and over again. But I think we should listen to him, and I think we should practice. So start noticing when you're closed and start opening up. Let's start reversing that habit. So, that takes us to the time of the day where I get to give you your homework for the next week. We're going to do workbook lessons 153 to 159 this week. We'll also continue with our daily awareness watching awareness meditation for 15 to 20 minutes. And we're going to practice the Loving All method, which in our own way we just had a review over, right? And then the second assignment is that we're going to watch the movie Little Buddha. And that's the only other assignment I have for you this week, other than the typical assignments of the workbook, the meditation, and loving all. We're going to watch the movie Little Buddha. Now, Jacqueline also assigned Little Buddha as the movie of the month because she knew that I was going to do this, and we didn't want to ask you guys to watch two movies. But we're going to do things a little differently this month. Let me get a drink of water first. My throat's going to quit. We're going to do things a little differently this month. We are not going to have a movie discussion group this Sunday night. We're going to wait and discuss the movie in the Gentle Healing group next Tuesday during that first 45 minutes when it's y'all's turn to share. That's when I want to hear what you got out of the movie Little Buddha. So we're going to watch the movie Little Buddha, and then we'll discuss it next Tuesday night, not Sunday night. Sunday night, what we're going to do, I'll do my 7 steps teaching like I always do, and then Ken's going to pick a 30-minute audio to play so I can have a little bit of a break from 8 to 8:30 Eastern time. And then from 8:30 to 10, I will do my Elie Ruzdahl sharing. So that means I'll do a 90-minute Elie Ruzdahl sharing instead of a 60-minute, which I'm really happy about because we still have a lot of audio to get through. So that's what we're going to do on Sunday night. And then next Tuesday night, we'll discuss the Little Buddha. Now, the Little Buddha is available on YouTube. We have it in the Gentle Healing playlist. Again, you go to the Awakening Together channel, go to the playlist, go to Gentle Healing, and you will find Little Buddha. You can also get it, I think we said, on Netflix, in different places as well, but it's right there on YouTube. And Ken, I already saw Ken's post for the homework, and he already has the movie right there in the post. So if you just go to the homework post, the movie's there, and you just click play. So that's the homework assignment. Again, workbook lessons 153 to 159, daily awareness, watching awareness for 15 to 20 minutes, the loving all method, or keeping your heart open, just don't close, right? And also watching the movie Little Buddha and being ready to share what that meant to you next Tuesday night. And we're done. So thanks, you guys. It's been nice hanging out with you, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.